Good morning, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Now, Tom, I know for a fact that you like people and coaches and teammates to be direct with you, so let me be direct and ask you what everybody is asking us. Why isn't Tom Brady making all the throws and all the connections that Tom has made in the past? Surely you have at least a theory about this, Tom, if not a definitive answer.
Well, you know, I'm tough on myself also. So when you miss throws, you're certainly disappointed. And, you know, we don't have the margin of error to miss throws. And we missed a couple yesterday that were important plays. And you got to find ways to do it better. And I think that's just keep going out back to work and trying to go out there and work on the mechanics and work on the timing and work on the plays and try to go out and execute better.
Well, based on your past performance, 2007 rings a bell clearly in my mind. Is it unfair for people to expect for you to be that good, that nearly perfect when you are missing some throws like Randy in the end zone?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that's where the expectation lies. And you know, if there's an opportunity to make a play, to throw the ball and complete it, then, you know, I feel that, you know, you should be 100%. You know, if the defense makes a good play, they make a good play. If they don't, then they don't. So, you know, believe me, it's there's obviously after a game a lot of soul searching, and the only thing I can focus on is what I need to do better, and there's plenty of things that I need to do better, we've got 11 games to play, and we got an opponent this week that's always the tough test for us. And hopefully we'll go out there and play a lot better. You know, I'm excited to get back to practice on Wednesday and, you know, get back to work.
Tom, here's a theory I floated by Boomer Esiason during the 8 o'clock hour, and he said, hey, sounds as good as anything else I've heard. Brief review of recent history. 2007, you and Josh set the NFL on fire. 2008, Josh and Matt Cassel carved out 11 wins. 2009, Josh and Orton have it all going on through 5 games out in Denver. Coincidence that Josh is the connecting thread, and without throwing anybody under the bus, and I don't suggest you're ever going to do that, is the comfort level without Josh calling the plays a factor in anything that's happening now?
Guys, you know, I mean, Josh is a great coach, and he's leading his team well. We are up 17-7 going into the second half yesterday. I mean, it's not that, you know, we don't play good football at times. We're just not playing well enough consistently. You know, we had a lead at the half of the Jet game and a lead at the half of this game. So, you know, we can do it. I mean, there's no magic solution to this. The solution is for us to go out and play better. I mean, I think that's what it is collectively. I mean, obviously the plays are there to be called, and we're going to execute them, and there's opportunities to execute them, and, you know, we haven't done that as consistently as we're used to. So, you know, you don't. That's just the way football is, and you go out there and you try to do it better the next week. So that's what we're going to do, and that's what I'm excited to do. And this is a big week for us.
Everybody is analyzing the throw to Welker, the one that hit him on the foot, up the seam. I see NFL Network and ESPN, all the little Chalk Talk guys are trying to break that one down for us, Tom. I'd be curious to hear from you. What did you see on that play, and what went wrong?
Well, you know, Wes, Wes is thinking one thing, and I'm thinking another. Right. And I think that's just the way it is. And Wes and I need to be on the same page. And I see what he was looking at, and he understands what I was looking at. And you know, that comes up over the course of the game. I mean, we should have hit the play. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's a great chance for us to make a critical third down conversion there in the fourth quarter, and that's why we lost. That's because we didn't make that play. And other critical third down conversions. So,
you're thinking he stops on that as he turned it inside, turned it outside, and he sees nothing in front of him and keeps going?
Yeah, well, he sees the open field, and I don't see that far down the field. So, it's just like I said, Wes. That's part of being out there together and practicing and playing and going over those plays so you can talk about those things. And we're going to make those improvements. And, you know, Wes is, one of the best football players that I've ever played with. So, you know, I got to find ways to do a better job with Wes and with Randy and to get those guys the ball. I mean, we certainly had opportunities to give them the ball yesterday, and we didn't.
Did those things happen in 07 and we just didn't notice?
I mean, 2007 was a magical year, you know. I mean, there's only one other team that's gone undefeated, and you know, we had a great team, and you know, this is certainly not 2007. There's many different players and many different coaches and a different schedule, and you know, you're dealing with different things. So, you know, the goal is to win the game and to score more points than the other team, and however you get that done, that's the way you need to do it. So. You know, we had a great opportunity yesterday to be up 17-7 on the road at halftime, and really we came out the second half and didn't do much.
Tom, I know the answer to the following question is all losses burn your butt, and that's a given. But I'm wondering, does it chap you a little more losing to a big mouth like Rex Ryan or to your former coach, Josh?
They're both tough. I mean, they're both tough. It's a lonely flight home for all of us. I mean, we all sit there and think about every play in the game that you could have made and that you should have made. And, you know, all of them are tough. It's a silent flight home and a silent bus ride. And you know, it's a tough day today. And then you move on. You know, I think I played for a long time. And I think the thing is you realize you lose games. I mean, you lose games. And you congratulate the other team, and then you get back to work. And you can't let one loss become two losses, because that's when your season really starts to go. I mean, I think the important thing for us is to identify, you know, all the things we've done right over the last 5 weeks and things we've done wrong over the last 5 weeks and try to build toward something better and more consistent. And that's just hard work. That's just understanding it and putting the work in and going out there and performing better. I think there's no magic solution.
Tom, you said all week long, ramping up to this game that put mirror image offenses against one another, that execution would be the difference, not who knew more about each other's playbook. In fact, I heard you after the game say you were calling the plays out there as Orton was on the field. You knew it was coming. You knew the alignments. You knew what was going to happen. However, the difference is, I think, Josh added this wild horse setup. Not that that had a whole lot to do with the outcome of the game. And I'm wondering, did you guys add any wrinkles that obviously weren't nearly as obvious as what Josh added to your game plan to kind of throw him off?
Yeah, you know, we did. We had plenty of wrinkles. We always do, you know, and we just, you know, like I said, we're up 17-7 going into the second half. And offensively, we had some critical third downs that we didn't make and had a chance down there for a long completion to Randy to get the ball in the end zone and didn't convert a third down there. So, you know, I really felt as an offense we didn't do our defense any justice. We just, you know, we left them out on the field too long, and that's a good offense with a lot of good skill players. And you know, Kyle Orton had a great game, and, you know, they really stepped it up when they needed to. And I think that's, you know, they won because they executed better. They made the plays, and we didn't make the plays.
It seems like they're, you know, Kyle Orton, I asked this question of Boomer, and it sounds simplistic, but I still don't understand quite why Denver's receivers are open all day, yours aren't. I mean, either were a couple of throws you made, and you had a window that was slightly bigger than the ball. I mean, why are they getting separation and you're not?
Well, you know, our guys are getting separation, and sometimes the windows are tighter. I mean, if there's a chance to get the ball in there, then that's what I got to do, so. You know, our defense there, like I said, that's a very talented group of skill position players. They're good at every receiver position, every tight end position. They got good running backs. You know, they put a lot of pressure on the defense, and the defense hung in there at times. But first half, the defense played great. You know, they made a big play after the fumble, and you know, kept, you know, sent the game into overtime. You know, but you know, it just wasn't enough for us. So. You know, it's a good team. They're 5-0 for a reason,
right.
And you know, we're sitting there with a 10-point lead at halftime, and you know, thinking if we can score on the opening drive, you know, we're gonna go down and make it really tough on them, and we go 3-and-out. So, you know, that's the difference.
What happens in Denver? Do you feel the light air, the thin air, whatever it is? I mean, or is it just a matter of the Broncos having good teams every time you go in there?
Well, we have a lot of competitive games against them. We always have. I mean, we were there in 2000 in Mahi my first year, and we weren't we early in the year, we got off to kind of a rough start, and we beat them down there, and it was a tough environment. 2001, we lost in the fourth quarter. We lost. We had a close game that we won, you know, when Lonnie snapped the ball into the goalpost. We took the safety. We lost in the playoffs on a very, very close game. You know, and yesterday was a close game. So they're good teams. I mean, the Broncos are always tough. They're always tough at home. It's a great environment for football. You know, like I said, it comes down to how well you execute the plays that are called. You know, there's plays out there that if we execute them, then, you know, we do have a much better chance of winning the game. We just, when you don't make the plays like we didn't make them in the second half, then you're not going to win.
Tom, maybe this falls under the category of the vagaries of the National Football League, but I can't recall a more efficient drive than your 4.5-minute, 74-yard drive at the end of the first half to put you up 17-7. You hit Falk for 7, Welker for 13. On third night, Welker for 17. Then again to Falk for 16. Welker with the kidney shot by Dawkins. And then Watson for the touchdown. That's probably about as perfectly as you could draw it up and execute it. And yet then in the second half, we saw, what, 3 punts, a missed field goal, and a fumble. Is there a golf analogy here where you're talking about making like 3 pars and 2 birdies and then you jack 3 out of bounds on the 10th hole?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much what it is. I mean, it's at times, you know, we're doing it well. At times, the first drive of the game, we go right down the field. I mean, other points where, you know, we're able to make the plays, you know, we're just not making them consistently enough. I mean, that's all I can say, guys. Believe me, it's frustrating for all of us because when you make the plays, you're going, okay, great, this is how it should be. And then when you're not making the plays, you're saying, well, what's the problem? You know, why are we not making those same plays consistently? And, you know, we're trying to figure out those things as a team. And, you know, I think, like I said, as we reflect, the reason is because, you know, individually, you know, we're all not performing to the level of our ability. And you know, I certainly look at myself and know that I need to play a lot better. You know, and I got to go out there and get back to work and see if we can make the improvements that we need to make. And that's where, you know, I'm focused at. And I know all the other guys are focused on the same thing.
In the course of a game, Tom, how many plays do you call personally? How many are your calls?
You know, there's none that I just, you know, look over the side and say, no, I'm not running that. I'm running this play.
Right.
That doesn't happen. We have a great, we always have a lot of communication before the game with Coach Belichick and Billy. And, you know, they have their job and that's what they do. And they call the plays. And if there's things that I see on the field that I like, then, you know, maybe I'll change it slightly, but, you know, we don't ever call plays that, you know, I don't like or you know, I wouldn't want called.
So you don't, when you call a play, when you audible, it's because of something you see on defense. You don't just come out to the line. Say you're in a no huddle and you come out to the line. Are you more likely to audible or change the call?
Yeah, and we talk about the plays that we want to change or why we'd want to change them, or if they give us this certain defense, this is how we're going to change them. So a lot of the stuff is communicated before the game. You know, this is how we're going to make the adjustments on these plays versus these defenses. So,
right. You
know, just so guys aren't out there and you're calling something, they're going, what the hell is that? You know, everyone needs to be on the same page.
And as the season goes on, I mean, do you just assume everyone will become more comfortable and there'll be more chemistry with you, not just your receivers, but your line, your backs, everybody as the season goes on? Or is each week a whole new learning process?
Well, I wouldn't assume anything. Every week is a new process, and what happened in the Baltimore game has nothing to do with what happened in the Denver game, and which will have nothing to do in the Tennessee game. And it's just that's the way it is. You have to go out and give it everything you got every day of every week. And you know, the teams that succeed, the teams that do well, they do continue to build and get better. And you know, you find your identity, you find the things that you're doing well, and you do those. You find the things you're not doing well, and you stop doing those. You know, and that's part of what you do as an offense and as a defense. Things that you think may work through the mini camps and through the preseason, they just aren't working. You know, then you say, okay, we're moving on from those. You know, they've had 4 or 5 games or 6 games, and, you know, they're not panning out the way we thought. So, but these things are working good, and these are what we're going to do more of, and that's what every team does. I mean, you You got to identify what you're good at and what you're not so good at, and improve the things that you're not good at, but also, you know, build on the things that you are doing a good job at.
Tom, final question for me, and I'm not sure this qualifies as our weekly uncomfortable hypothetical, but it probably does qualify as an inside quarterback question. Does it get easier or more difficult when a receiver comes wide open deep down the field? What changes in the quarterback's mind and body and delivery when you see a guy breaking free for the end zone?
No, I mean, it's easier. It's certainly easier. There's no excuses for the one that ran yesterday. I mean, I should make that 100% of the time. And I didn't. So, you know, believe me, I wish I could do it all over again, but I can't. And hopefully I do it better the next time. So, you know, you'd love to have guys wide open all the time down the field, but you know, you're very fortunate when you do have those things. And they're very fortunate when you don't make the play. And you know, it's just, that's something that we definitely, and I definitely have to improve on. You know, when we do have those guys open down the field, I got to hit them.
Do you ever feel like you have to get the ball to Randy or any number one receiver, say your number one guy early, just even if it's some easy, simple pattern, just to get him involved and get him in the flow? It took a while for you to get the ball to Randy, obviously, yesterday. At times as I'm watching him, saying, you know, just run a little slant, get him the ball so he gets, you know, gets involved here.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, we do. I mean, you got to get the ball to your best players. And Randy's, you know, our best, you know, he and Wes are our best players. So we've got to get those guys the ball, and I got to find ways to get them the ball. And that's what makes our offense go, is those guys in the running game, the offensive line, I thought played great yesterday. They really, you know, gave me a lot of time back there to make the throws. You know, but you're right. I mean, I got to get them the ball.
Have you looked at you on the way home, just wondering, it's not important, but on the way home in the flight, I know it's quiet and it's kind of somber, you sit down and look at the video?
Well, they don't have the video available to us until, you know, today.
So you haven't seen it yet?
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. But, I wish they could. I mean, believe me, it's, the faster you see it, you know, the faster you kind of purge it out of your system.
So what do you do? What do you do on the flight?
I usually get started on the next week's opponent. So I watched all Tennessee's games yesterday. Some guys like to relax. I mean, I think it's always valuable time for me when I'm on the road and I'm flying home. So,
right. But
everyone's disappointed. I mean, it's a shitty feeling. You just. Nothing worse than that, believe me.
Is there beer flowing, or is that not allowed anymore?
It's not allowed, and guys, you know, it's really, back in the day, you know, it used to be a lot more of that, and now it's much less. You know, guys really do take great care of themselves, and, you know, on the flight home, it's, especially when you lose, it's, you know, everyone just reflects, and it's very quiet, and everyone keeps themselves, and you know, there's not much to be excited about. You put a lot into the week, and there's, when you lose the game, it's all for nothing. So, and when you win, it's great. Everyone's having a great time, and that's why you appreciate the winning, and why the losing's so tough.
So you watched obviously not last night's Tennessee game, but the other four?
Yeah.
They lost them all, right?
Yeah, they did. I'm sure they're disappointed, obviously. They had a great year last year and a great defense. They returned a lot of guys. They've had some injuries this year. They played a lot of really good teams, Pittsburgh and the Colts last night, which I was watching on the flight, too. They had those little TVs in the headrest. So I watched a lot of that, too. So
they don't have any cornerbacks left. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they broke it. One guy broke his arm, I saw. I mean, that's tough. I mean, you lose guys, other guys are trying to fill in, and I'm sure they'll, you know, it's a lot of pressure on a team when they haven't won, and, you know, they're going to be itching to get out there and play us, and I'm sure they're going to feel like there's a great opportunity for them. So, like I said, we got to have a great week of preparation and ultimately go out there next week and play better than we played in the second half.
Hey, Tom, I actually have come up with the uncomfortable hypothetical.
Uh-oh.
What is it? Tell me.
When a quarterback loses his left tackle, and I understand we don't know the you know the prognosis yet on Matt, is that like young John losing his binky?
He's pretty attached to that binky.
And you're pretty attached to Matt.
Yeah, you know, Matt's I've been with Matt for our ninth year together, and he's a great player, and you know, I don't really know, like I said, the prognosis. I'm hoping for the best. But, you know, you're right. Your left tackle is hugely important. I mean, this week it's Kyle Van den Bosch, and it's Dwight Freeney, and it's, you know, Joey Porter and Jason Taylor. So, you know, that's an important position on our offense. And if Matt's not able to go, you know, other guys got to fill in. You know, Matt's a great player. He's been to Pro Bowls, and he's done a great job for us. So, like I said, I'm hoping for the best.
If he's gone, does Vollmer step in, or does Kazer go over there?
I'm not sure how they do it. I really haven't seen it come up much. I mean, Vollmer went in there yesterday.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a good young rookie, smart kid, tough kid. You know, he's out there because coaches have a lot of confidence in him. So it'd be great for him to really use this as a great opportunity for himself.
All right, the Renaissance Alliance Power and Cloud Quarterback Question of the Week comes to us from Derek Waite. Derek wants to know, Tom, how do you keep your cool under pressure on the field?
Well, you know, you at different times, you know, you obviously have a lot of emotions going through during the game. I always think, you know, everyone's always looking how I'm going to respond. So, you know, I always try to bring the excitement and energy and for myself, and hopefully the other guys, you know, can feel that. You know, but why I stay poised is because I can look around the huddle and see Moss and Welker and Sammy and Lawrence. And those guys give me a lot of comfort. So, you know, being a confident player, being a confident team is about knowing that everyone around you is going to do, you know, their own job. And I always have a lot of confidence that that's what our guys are going to do. So that's what makes it easiest for me.
Has there ever been anybody that you played with, Tom, that you had to calm down, that was a little crazy out there, and you said, no, this is not what we're looking for, calm down a little bit here in the huddle?
Matt, you know, Light's kind of, you know, he'll punch himself in the chest and mumble to himself at times when he's trying to fire himself up. He'll bang himself in the helmet. So that's pretty funny.
He's never pulled it. Owen Schmidt, has he? Did you see this Seattle guy who smashed himself with the helmet yesterday?
No,
just getting fired up, he takes the helmet and he smacked himself in the head, and he just opens a gash. And I don't know how many stitches. Do you know how many stitches, Meter?
No way.
You got to see it to believe it. His whole face is covered with blood. And,
and
you're looking, you go, oh, gee, what happened? And they show and he's just smacking his, as he's introduced, like as he takes the field.
Oh, geez.
You got to see it to believe. You got the stitches on that, Meter?
No, we don't. But
it's a huge gash. But anyway,
yeah, I'm sure
covers his whole face
today.
You'll laugh, even though it's bloody and ugly. You will laugh.
Go for the day, Tom. You're going back to sleep. You got in late, right?
Yeah, I'm heading down to the stadium.
All right, we'll talk to you next Monday, Tom.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Tom Brady with Dennis.